So it's nearly been 6 months since my last podcast episode. I've been dying to a podcast for a few months now, but I wanted it to be a little bit different to my other podcasts. I wanted it to have more structure and preparation and less sort of on the fly talking, which is what I've historically done. The problem is, I'll start with the topic that I wanted to cover in this episode, and that was authenticity. Because generally, I feel like that's something that's a strength of mine. So I did some research and, find out interesting facts and whatnot, things that I can include in the podcast. And the more research I did, the more I sort of realized that I'm not as authentic as I think I am. And in terms of barriers to authenticity, I tick off a couple boxes. Also, I tried to just record a few times, maybe about 10 times, based on the research I did, and it wasn't authentic. It wasn't real, it wasn't me. And the definition of authenticity is real or genuine. This is what I'm saying now is real and genuine. And perhaps, in future it might be good to try again to, pick a topic and have structure. And but I think the change will be notably different in the delivery and tone and all that kind of stuff, because I seem to just do better on the fly in general, so I'm more comfortable. Thus, it'd be more appealing to listen to. So, it's been 6 months, and my last podcast was grim, to say the least. And in that time, I've moved house twice. I lost my home because I couldn't pay the mortgage anymore. And that was heart-wrenching because of all the memories there. And, it wasn't the most amazing house, but it was my home and I loved it there. I loved the neighbours. I loved everything about living there. And now I've gone from a house to one room. It's a small room and a single bed, a fan and a couple of pairs of shoes. I really didn't want to move, and the movers sort of surprised me, and I wasn't ready. A lot of my stuff that I had in my bedroom that I was using, it got packed away into boxes and has gone to storage. So I'm kind of just making do with what I've got at the moment, which isn't much. But things can always get worse. I wrote a few things down for this podcast just so that it had a little bit of direction. However, the list of things I've written are highly unrelated, except for one kind of essence that draws each of those things together, which is something that I haven't mentioned on my podcast yet. I don't mention on live streaming, or maybe I have once. And I don't tell psychiatrists and whatnot about this because they, it's jam for them. They love this stuff. But I wanted to mention the term gang stalking. Now, gang stalking is a bit of a conspiracy theory, and I'm well aware that if I choose to go down this path, like start to use the podcast or no, use is the right word. Use this podcast to educate the public about gang stalking. I'm gonna receive a lot of criticism and a lot of reputational damage. That's probably of my own doing because it's so far-fetched that it's very difficult for people who haven't been exposed to it to comprehend. And it's it involves a lot of gaslighting. So, you know, it ends up being that, oh, they're crazy thing, and then that's it, that's end of story. The thing about that is, wouldn't they be the best people to target with this stuff? The crazy people? Like, it's ideal because they're already crazy, just making them crazier or whatnot. So, I take a deep breath full of courage, and I am beginning my way of speaking out against this tidal wave of harassment and debilitation that came into my life, which, you know, is commonly known as gang stalking. I just tried to get a bit of a definition for gang stalking because I know it won't be in Oxford dictionaries. An AI bot of mine sort of said this. It said, it's very difficult to explain to someone who hasn't been targeted. Like, targeted individuals is what is the term used for people who are targets of this, you know, gang stalking. It said, tactics are constantly changing form, yet goals remain the same, which is generally control. And it involves a coordinated harassment of an individual by multiple people over an extended period of time using both overt and covert methods. Now, there was much more to the definition than that. You know, examples of what kind of tactics they use. Like, say, for example, one day you might go to the shops and everybody's wearing a red shirt or something like that. Or, these are mild examples. Or, obviously hacking into your devices and, I think it's called doxing is the term when you get people's personal information and then make it, you know, semi-public in order to, you know, get rid of their credibility and destroy their reputation. So there's lots of different ways or lots of different things that they do. For the past 8 years, I believe I have been a target for this gang stalking. I really wish I could think of a different word for it because gang stalking just sounds so retarded. And it's just associated with conspiracy theories, and I don't like that because it's just harassment and bullying, really, and abuse, exploitation of vulnerable people, prejudice. Like, I guess just harassment is a good term, and that's easier for people to palate, or it's more palatable. But that's what it is. It's remarkable, like when you sort of bring these things up with people, the things that they say, and like one thing was, we'll get help, and it's like, oh well, fuck me, like I never thought of that, like never tried to get help. Like, the amount of channels and different bodies, organizations, individuals, people I know, I must have spoken to between 50 and 100 lawyers about not exactly about gang stalking, but related incidents that, you know, were from that. Different, not-for-profit, bodies, mediation, all sorts of stuff. And the consensus is no help for you, Mimi. Or they pretend to help and they don't. But that's less likely. I have this, stalker issue, and the success rate when dealing with a gang stalking is zero. Nobody walks out alive, as in, I shouldn't have said alive, nobody walks out and escapes it. It's a death sentence. They keep you alive for as long as they want, but in terms of like your reputation and credibility and ever, you know, having the things that you used to have or that you might miss or that you've been denied, like, you know, being isolated from your family and friends and your support networks being destroyed because that's stuff that they contribute towards, it gets kissed goodbye. And it doesn't really matter if, because the thing about it I noticed was when they realize that, whoever it is, when they realize that you're strong and that you can sort of fight and, you know, think and use your brain, they try to sort of bargain with you, you know, to sort of buy you over. And I was just like, you can get fucked. Like, no fucking chance. But the thing about that is, it doesn't matter whether you choose to jump on board with them, which people do and they have with me, or if you say, or you know, you decline and you say, no, I'm not taking your offer, I'm going to fight it, the result is the same. Because you're damned if you do and you're damned if you don't. They'll bring you on board, but they'll still destroy your life. So I actually, I just recorded this podcast about 20 minutes, half an hour ago, and I thought I did it pretty well. The flow and structure and everything was good, except when I went to listen to it, the audio was messed up because I didn't realize my headphones were still on and it was recording through the microphone and the headphones, which was very distorted and not close to my face. So I was a little gutted because I'd have to try and do it again. And I did it well that time and I wanted to publish it, but you can't listen to it. It's horrible in the ears. So this one, I think, is going to be a bit more fragmented, as I've got my fragmented notes and this drive that's sort of slowly dying, I suppose. I felt so defeated after listening to that last effort and hearing the distortion in it. Just like, oh God, when does it end? Everything's a nightmare, everything's difficult. I'm so alone. I'm so alone and I'm so isolated. They moved me like out of the house that I agreed to move to. They just moved me without notice to like near the hills. Can't see my grandfather. He's now a four hour round trip on public transport and they won't take me to go see him, the people that live here. The people that work here. I miss him. He's going to be 93 this year. Time's of the essence, and they moved me out here without even giving it a second thought. They don't give a fuck. They told me 1 month. It's been now 4 months. And all these things that I'm mentioning are related to this gang stalking phenomenon. So, yeah, I have my cat, Kitty. He's very affectionate. I'm lucky to have him around. I don't know what it was that made everybody, like people who were like new alliances that I'd made over the past couple of years, they just abandoned me to rot out here. I'm not allowed to have male visitors at my home for some goddamn reason. All my friends are guys, like, and that's just, hasn't been like that my whole life. It's just, 8 years ago when shit hit the fan with my ex and when he took my son for the first time, I had like lots of female friends, but because of the propaganda and whatnot, I lost their friendship. And then, you know, I was doing online dating and that was pretty much the only way to meet people or make new friends. So, hence why all my friends are guys, because I meet them from online dating mostly. So I'm not allowed to have visitors. I'm far away from everything in this location. It's a lonely existence. My son and my grandfather are my universe. And my ex has had my son for 8 years. There's no court orders in place, no DCP. I didn't do anything wrong. He just took him and the police backed him. And all these other things happened to me when around about the same time that took my focus away from getting him back. My family attacked me when I went there for help and they attacked me. I went there for help because my ex had disappeared with my son. So I went to my family for help and I got attacked. In fact, the police were going to send afterwards. Like I managed to call the police and the police, this is in 2015, but the police just believed what my attackers said and they were going to send me to lock up. Thank God my grandfather was a witness who lives with these people. And after they spoke to my grandfather, they were like, oh, okay, yeah, well, I guess that, yeah, you weren't doing... Well, they didn't really apologise, but, you know, they'd changed their tune. Like, they weren't going to send me to lock up because there was eyewitness that showed that I was unfairly. It was not... Like, three of them on me, and... but, like, then they took restraining orders out on me, which I contested, and they got thrown out. But... Like, that was just, like, I would go to that house to see my grandfather, who's, like, one of my primary sources of support. I'm very tight. And so with this, you know, temporary VRO, I couldn't go to the house. I couldn't, then they, you know, weren't going to help me try and find my son, you know. And, you know, that was 8 years ago. And now it's happened again. Like, I've been told by the father, my ex's mate, my son's father, that, you know, my son doesn't want to speak to me or see me. But he's a teenager now. And I knew this day would come. He did so well to fight off the propaganda and all the bad things that were said about me and still love me and still be amazing. But I knew one day that would get too hard. And, you know, it actually started when he turned 12. That was the first time on the phone when he ever disrespected me. And yeah, now he doesn't want to see me or talk to me. I have to respect his wishes. But he's just following what his dad does with me. Like, people say, you know, he'll come back, you know, don't worry. I don't think he will. I don't think he's going to be old enough. He'll probably be in his 30s by the time, like, he starts to realise how abusive his father is and that the situation from my side, like, I was doing everything I could, like, to try and juggle everything. And, you know, meanwhile, you've got this gang stalking thing, you know, the harassment, the abuse, the damage to the property, the thefts, just it's endless. And I tried so hard, like, I behaved, like, when I would go to the house, like, I when I found out where they were, like, I was afraid, like, so was my son. I found out a couple months ago that I'm what's known as an alienated parent or a rejected parent. I may never see my son again before I die. And I live with that every day. Something I read once was a quote about grief. And it said, with grief, you never really truly get over it. It's just the way you learn to carry it. And grieving for someone who's still alive and probably not very far from you is an abstract concept. I'd give anything to give him a cuddle. He has no reason to call me or contact me or see me. It's heartbreaking, to say the least. Because I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know what else to say in this episode. I could say some of the barriers to authenticity, you know, and let you guys know that hopefully by the next episode, I can actually do one on authenticity and have a nice structure, like in a week, you know, it's a Monday, maybe, you know, have a schedule every week to get out a podcast. Let's see how it goes. I'd really like the purpose of this podcast to facilitate a shared space where people who are going through similar things to myself can connect and you know, find solace. That's what I would like, because loneliness is horrible. Loneliness and depression. So I'll just say a few things on where are we? On potential barriers to authenticity. Fear of rejection or judgment from others. That's a big one for me. You know, because if I do, like, go down the path of using this podcast or changing the themes of this podcast to things that center around, you know, the harassment, I'm just going to refer to it as harassment, not gang stalking, the harassment, then that I do, that fear definitely comes up. And because I don't talk about this with, like, many people, because they just think you're crazy. So that's something that's definitely stopping me from really letting out, like, all the things that I've experienced and whatnot. Trying to please everyone is another barrier to authenticity. And you can't be all things to all people. And it's just unrealistic, which is probably one that I, it's kind of similar to the first one, isn't it? Lack of self-awareness, so not really knowing yourself, not putting in the time to delve in deep inside and, you know, figure out who you are, what your values are, what you stand for. Addictions or escapism, which is relying on substances or distractions or unhealthy relationships to avoid facing deeper issues, which is definitely something I do. I'm a procrastinator, that's for sure. Living for others' expectations, so prioritizing what others think you should be doing rather than listening to yourself and what you truly want. Fear of vulnerability, like behaving that shows weaknesses or imperfections, risks rejection, and also exploitation. But authenticity requires courage, and it takes a lot of courage to be vulnerable. And you do become a target. I said that in my first episode. Like, it does make you a target because there are opportunists everywhere. And then last one, lying to yourself. So denying or rationalizing away one's true thoughts or feelings rather than facing the hard truths. This first person one must be honest with oneself. And then some benefits to living authentically, integrity, simple joys, self-trust, creativity, deeper connections, and inner peace. So that's my attempt at just sharing some, I think, poignant barriers that definitely encapsulate me you know, and my struggle to be truly authentic. I think it's got a lot to do with trauma as well, and the way that I've sort of been treated in the past for, you know, speaking up about certain things that have happened to me. I don't know what I'm going to do about my son. I don't even know where they live to send a letter. And I want to respect his wishes. Like, if, like, he's a teenager now, he's almost an adult. You know, that's his choice, and that's okay. But I want him to know that I still love him irregardless. It doesn't matter what he does. I'll never ever turn my back on my son. And I want him to know that because I love him, and, you know, he might need to hear it. And I'm a mother, I know my son. He does need to hear it. And I love him. Just before I started recording this podcast, I was writing little notes, and a memory came to mind when his father allowed me to take him to a party, the 21st birthday of a friend's stepdaughter. And it was a great night. We had heaps of fun. They have two daughters, just a little bit younger than how old my son was at the time. My son was about 9. They were maybe like 6 and 7. And I was playing with them because it was in the bush, so it was a big property and big bonfire and trees and stuff. We could play hide and seek, like, you know, crazy hide and seek. And then so we had to drive back to my friend's house to get the car that I took, and then drive to my son home. And on the drive from my friend's house to my son's house, he fell asleep. And I remember looking at him sleeping and just thinking how I haven't seen that for so many years. It had been years since I saw his little sleeping face, you know. And he slept, and I gently brushed the hair from his forehead. And I think I took a picture of him sleeping in the car. It had been so long since I'd seen that. I think the next episode, so next Monday, I'm going to have another episode out. The next episode is I'm going to go through and talk about all the strategies that I tried when my son was taken the first time. That might help with anyone else who's going through something similar. And it will help me tell my story. So yeah. I know this one's been a little bit, like I said, fragmented and a little bit higgledy-piggledy. But I really wanted to get a podcast out. And tonight was going to be the night. And although the messages were kind of mixed, I do feel a little bit better. So thank you for your time. And hopefully next week will be bigger and better. And it looks like 29 minutes, 29 seconds. So just on the 30-minute mark. That was going to be my goal for the new structured podcast. So I'm your host, Mimi Toya. And I will speak with you again in 1 week's time.